Welcome to Dispatch in Depth, where we give you the stories behind the science of emergency dispatch. This is the official research podcast of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch, the world's leading authority in dispatch science. I'm your host, Isabel Gardette, Director of Academics for the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch. In each episode, we'll be bringing you stories of the fascinating people who do research in this area. We'll give you their backstory, including how they got there, what they're working on, and what drew them to the research. These are people who represent the cutting edge in dispatch research, and I hope you'll join us to hear more about them. Welcome to Dispatch in Depth. Today we're talking about a critical element of cross-discipline dispatching, sending medical assistance to a police event. How can police officers provide just the right information to get an appropriate medical response without taking a lot of time away from their on-scene duties? How can EMDs accurately identify the medical resources needed without an extended interrogation of the officer? The answer to these questions and more is the SEND protocol, now in a new version as Advanced SEND. And here to talk to us about it are Bonnie Stockman, Director of Instructor Services for the International Academies, and Darren Judd, Program Administrator for Priority Dispatch Corporation. Welcome, Bonnie and Darren.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you.
So before you start talking about SEND and Advanced SEND, I'd like to just give our listeners a sense of your background in public safety and then also how you got involved with the development of the SEND protocol. So Bonnie, if you want to get started.
Okay. So my background is a dispatcher and manager, queue, and working between police and the Salt Lake City Airport, medical, police, and fire. And I did that for 20 years. And then I came to the academy to work with the instructors. And kind of the background between me and Darren with SEND was that we worked at two different agencies, but we worked together sending resources. And so that's how the SEND developed for us. And then we worked on developing to Advanced SEND that it actually became a protocol. So Protocol 38.
All right. And Darren, how about you? What's your background?
I started using the protocols in about 1986. I've worked in the EMS industry for over 30 years. And just over the time, I worked in both the field and then into the communication center and ran the center for a while. And like Bonnie said, I started working with her with using the SEND protocol between the ambulance service and the airport all the time. So to get the resources out there.
Okay. So, Bonnie, what exactly is the SEND protocol and how does it work?
So the SEND protocol was originally where there were five questions that we asked police officers to answer. So they would call in on the radio, they would give us the information, and then we would be able to dispatch the resources out. So back then, we had to train the officers and then train the dispatchers to kind of pick a protocol that best fit what the officers were telling them. And so we would go out and train the officers on the cards and our protocols. And then we would go and help the dispatchers kind of start to figure out. And so over time, the officers got better at being able to tell us it was a fall or it was a cardiac arrest, those type of things. So that's how SEND worked where I was at. And then it helped Darren in the ambulance be able to send them correctly to the airport, not send them too hot, not send cold when we needed them.
Yeah.
That was kind of where the SEND protocol, how we used it at the Salt Lake Airport.
And so the SEND protocol is specifically for when there are non-medical responders on the scene and they need to call in and request medical assistance and then to figure out, to have the EMD figure out what exactly they need to send.
That's correct. And so that was one of the things that before we started using it, it was just the police officer just come on the radio and say, we need medical.
Yeah.
And then we would just kind of try to figure it out and send fire, but we'd get fire responding and they'd say, what are we going on?
Right.
And we'd say, the officer requested you.
And then they show up without a lot of information.
Yeah.
So, Darren, in our previous conversation, you talked a little bit about the origins of the SEND protocol and how Dr. Clausen originally came up with that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, when Bonnie and I have been meeting with Dr. Clausen, he explained to us how it came about in the first place. And he was the medical director for Salt Lake City Fire back in the 70s. And when they were first starting to use the protocols and everything, one of the fire dispatchers actually ran a police officer down through every question when he was requesting assistance. And that didn't go very well. So he sat down with the police chief or one of the deputy chiefs and the fire chief, and they came up with just these basically five or six questions so that they could get the right help out. Hmm. And it's, you know, basic questions. And it was to be used whenever they had a police officer or a trained person that was trained in the SEN protocol on scene with that patient.
Okay. And both of you were involved recently in a several-year-long process to redesign the SEN protocol to make it the advanced SEN protocol. So what was that process? How did it happen, and why did it need to be updated?
So originally it came from the airport. They, along with their police chief, were requesting some additional information or a way to kind of speed it up. And so we met with several police officers, Dr. Clausen, several people in the academy, and Darren, and we sat down and tried to figure out what it was that they needed and how we could speed it up and how we could turn it into a protocol. So before this, they were just, the officers were just using the card. The dispatcher then had to put the information in and then find a protocol for it to match. And then if those questions weren't answered, they had to ask the police. And so it really caused a little bit of confusion and strife on both sides, because the officer's there trying to do their thing and just want medical, and the dispatcher really doesn't know how to code it.
Right.
You know.
So the officer actually has a physical card that has the questions written on it, and previously using the SEN protocol, they would just maybe radio in or call into the dispatch center and just answer the questions on the card.
Yes, that's how they did it.
And then the EMD would try to figure out what's the best way to code this. So how does it work now?
So now, with it being a specific protocol, now what the call taker is able to do is process that call just off of those questions. And if the officer provides them with the answers off of that card right up front, they don't have to ask a single question to get the right determinant level and the response sent. Like Bonnie was saying, on the first version of the send, the call taker or the dispatcher that was taking the call over the radio was putting in a lot of unknowns for answers.
Yeah.
And so really we didn't get the correct resources even because of all the unknowns. We were probably over triaging a lot of calls. And so now with it being a protocol, an official protocol, we can actually have it go in. It will give us a determinant just off of those five or six questions. And it also gives them access to the pre-arrival instructions and official post-dispatch instructions and stuff like that, that are more relevant to that situation than they are to the general public calling in.
Right. Yeah.
And which they never had access to before. Because when you code it and you close it out in ProQA, they would have to open it back up if they needed to give some type of PAI. And now it's there, available for them. They just can click on it. If the officer requests it, they can hit the target tool if they come back, you know, a couple seconds later and request help. But that's kind of, I think, the biggest advantage to the advanced send, is that they can actually assist officers with pre-arrivals that they might not be used to being delivering a baby, or they maybe never delivered a baby.
Right.
And they're on the highway.
Yeah.
Right.
Something they've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Right. And along with that, then you're also able to utilize, the agencies are able to utilize their resources to their full extent. Mm. So instead of an police officer coming across the radio and saying, I need medical, and they send a fire truck and ambulance and everything, now they can send the appropriate level of resources with that, with the code.
Right.
Yeah.
So give us an example or two of the kinds of requests that are coming in, and then the information that the officers provide about those.
So a lot of times you might have an officer doing just their normal patrol or something, and maybe they'll come up on somebody that's lying on the ground on the sidewalk, or that's fallen or something like that. And so they'll just come across the radio and they will give us an approximate age, the gender of the patient, whether they're awake and breathing, and if there's any bleeding in that scenario because it's a trauma call, and the dispatcher is able to code it out from that basic information.
So that distinction between trauma and medical, that's new in Advanced Send, right?
No, that was on the Send card also, but the biggest difference is we've expanded it to include some more serious types of hemorrhage and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been broke out where before the dispatcher really kind of had to rely on their gut. You know, they'd say, you know, they have this man laying down on the ground. But now we can break it out to medical, trauma, bleeding, taser events, excited delirium. And so it really takes care of the priority symptoms now.
Right.
And where the dispatcher can focus and the police officer can focus, and they have these little, I guess the best way to describe it is blocks across the top of the card. Mm. So they have eye visual to say, oh, that's what it is. And then they can give that information to the dispatcher.
Mm. So it's more organized for the officer to be able to determine what kind of problem it is.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you just mentioned tasers and excited delirium. And I know that the new Advanced Send deals with some of these things more. So talk about that a little bit.
So it just depends on where you're at and, you know, in the world or, in the U.S. But different departments have different requirements for if a person's been tased or if there's an individual with excited delirium. And so this opens it up to being able, the officer to be able to say that. So then the resources coming know exactly what they're going on. They know that if a person's been tased, they're going to have to deal with the prongs, or is that what they call them, the prongs? And, you know, if it's excited delirium, they really understand that now, and they know the medical condition that this person's in.
Right.
Versus instead of saying that there's suspicious or there's this guy running around, it wasn't really well known a while back ago, and now with saying that and having that on the card, everybody's aware of what's going on.
Right.
And then in addition to that, there is also, whenever we're dealing with the excited delirium or the taser, and we've actually just recently added OC deployment, and I'm not sure the exact wording on that, but there is one additional question, and that's for the safety of our responders, are they in protective custody? Mm. And so that's a safety question for the responders that are coming in on that.
Yeah, right. Because you don't want to send more victims to the scene, right? So,
right.
So, just before we move on, what is OC deployment?
OC, it's like mace or pepper spray type of deployment.
Okay. So it's another thing like a taser that the police officer might use.
Yeah. And canine bites.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's usually for like a canine officer.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that the new version, the Advanced Send, is now designed specifically to deal with issues that might be the result of the police interaction with the person, as well as things they might just come upon.
Well, with excited delirium and tasered patients especially, you know, there truly could be a medical reason going on, especially with the excited delirium. That could be somebody that's overdosed or something that's just way out of it, freaking out. But with the tasered, they just want to make sure that they are still stable if, you know, there's any chance of any possible medical issue there.
Right. And one of the things I think, Bonnie, that you mentioned was that some of the background for this was the in-custody deaths. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
So this is, you know, the Advanced Send will, I believe, can help, again, everybody know what's going on. Because if a police officer comes across and says, we need medical, and they ramp up and they go out, but they don't know it's excited delirium until they get on scene. You know, there's a lot of things that they need to be prepared for when they arrive on scene so they can care for that individual that they're dealing with. And so, again, I just think the words say a lot.
Yeah.
And so then everybody's prepared for what they're going to. And again, I don't know specifically how they deploy their resources based on that, but it gives them that ability to. It gives them to tell them how they're going to send them, how many they're going to send, where in the old send,
it just wasn't there. And you'd have to go, again, pick and code it. And we know, at least just some basic research we've done over the last year, that we were probably really oversending.
Yeah.
And you know, resource management is huge.
Can you, since you mentioned it, can you just tell us a little bit about that study? How did you organize it and what did you find?
So I'm going to let Darren talk a little bit because.
Well, so we had a few agencies that were doing a beta version for us. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we got their calls from them, both the physical calls, but we also got the audio for those calls. Then Bonnie and I went through and we listened to well over 500 calls between the two of us and just ran them through the different protocol to see if it coded out the way that we would code it on the advanced send, how it coded versus how it would have coded out on some of the other protocols. And so we were able to physically see the differences. And one of the things that was very interesting to us was agencies in the past, when we talked to them and we'd say, what do you send when a police officer requests medical? They would tell us, well, we send a fire truck and we send an ambulance and they all go lights and sirens to the scene and everything. Well, in our research and our study and listening to everything, and we verified all of this, it was 46% of the calls are at alpha level calls. And so that's kind of how we determined they were oversending and things like that.
Right. So if you just choose one way of responding with multiple units going lights and sirens for every medical request from the police, you're going to be oversending probably by definition.
Yes.
So, Darren, part of your job is to implement the protocols with agencies. So have you seen any particular barriers or challenges or issues or questions that come up? And if so, how would you answer those or how would you address them?
So the biggest barrier that I have that comes up on my implementations when I go out and meet with the medical implementations is our police officers will never provide us this information. And so how I address those and challenge them with those is, you know, we don't know that for sure unless we go ask them to do it. And we show them and we have a, you know, part of the training is like a 12 and a half minute video. And once, honestly, once the officers see, oh, this is all you need, it's really no big deal for them. Some of the other challenges that we've come across are different dispatch centers. So you might have one dispatch center that's doing the medical portion of it and another dispatch center that's doing the police portion. And so when the officer's reporting it to their dispatch center, then that dispatch center is picking up the phone and calling over to another dispatch center or something. So it's just a challenge. It can be a challenge, I should say, getting that information from one dispatch center to the other, but it's all easily worked out, usually.
Do you find that doing these implementations has the effect of making people talk to each other a little bit more?
Yes. In fact, Bonnie and I were at one agency and we actually asked to meet with the police dispatch and the medical dispatch. And we went over to the police dispatch and they're like, oh, this is all you need? This is easy. We can take care of all this. And they hadn't spoken, the two agencies really hadn't spoken to one another in
years.
5 years or more. So, yeah.
And they're, what, this is for the same area, the same location?
Yeah, same area. And I mean, me and Darren kind of walked away going, we were like just little liaisons. That's all we were there. The advanced send was the driving tool, but we were just liaisons there. And we opened up a conversation that they hadn't had. And as far as we know, they are working towards that and working together. And you know, I think that's probably more common than not. And I think this tool can help agencies talk to one another because, again, it's two dispatchers just trying to do their job with very limited information sometimes. But the outcome can be huge. And so this way, if we can just get them all talking and using the same verbiage, the less mistakes are going to happen, and the outcome, we hope the outcome is going to be better on all sides. And a lot of people say, you know, our fire get upset or our police get upset because they don't know what they're going on or they don't know what they're going on. And this answers all the questions
relatively quick and fast. And, you know, I think training is just the big, huge piece of it, that if they'll invest that time and talk to their police agencies, because they're getting something. That's always my response when people say it. I say, what are you getting right now? And what does your fire department want? Or what does your police department want? And bring those two together. And so everybody is all about saving money, not, you know, vehicles, all of that. Everybody's about that. And then, but in the end, that dispatcher has the best results they can do to send out what they need to send out. And I think that's the one of the key parts to it, is they're not... A lot of the responsibility is being partially taken off because they're getting the answers that they need versus trying to figure it out and make a decision.
Yeah, that's actually something you'd mentioned before, that the dispatcher, in a sense, gets stuck in the middle between police and medical or whoever the responding agencies are, and that this allows them to get what they need to not have to be this middle person.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of the whole reasoning behind putting it into the protocol, is that they could quickly type in that information. And the best part about it is how they deploy their resources is still up to their agencies. How they code is still, you know, up to their agencies, and what determinant level they're going to put those at. That's still within their, you know, realm of being able to use this protocol. And then because it's in its infancy, because we say it's in its infancy, SEND's been around for forever, but, you know, that's kind of what me and Darren are want. We want to hear about it. We want to hear from them. We want to make it better for them. And we feel like because it's so, you know, new as a protocol, we have the ability to do that.
And the other thing that's nice about the protocol too, and that, you know, we didn't want to make the officers think that their opinion wasn't warranted or wasn't valued on stuff. We've put into the protocol even allowing them the ability to request a hot or cold response. It might code out to be an alpha, and the officer might just not feel comfortable with something or something else is going on, and still say, I need a hot response on this. And it allows them to make that change.
That's great, so that they feel they have the control over the situation one way or the other.
Yeah, because there could be other things going on the scene that...
It may not have to do with the medical incident, but there's other stuff going on.
Yeah, that they need this taken care of. They need that off their plate so they can deal with something else.
Right. So, Darren, one of the issues we have heard about, or a question I've had asked, is if this is going through ProQA, then usually ProQA is at the station with the person who takes calls from the public, and... often the officer's calling in on a radio. And so if the person sitting at the radio talking to the officer doesn't have ProQA, how do they manage that?
That is a challenge that we've been faced with. And we are currently working on the best solution to that. Right now, unfortunately, there is no good solution other than, you know, getting that information to one of the call takers, whether the call taker can pick up the radio and listen or whether they have to just take it from the dispatcher. But we honestly have, that's one of the big projects that we've been working towards, is how do we accomplish this for the radio people that do not physically have ProQA.
Yeah. And one of our things that we're telling them and talking to them now about is that that radio dispatcher is receiving something. So still, if we can get organized information coming from the police officer or whichever responder's calling, and organize that into whether they put it through their CAD or they put it in an instant message or whatever over to their fire, it's still coming in the same way with the same information that somebody else that might have ProQA on their station can quickly enter it in and still be dispatched out.
Yeah, actually that goes back to something you said earlier, which is that no matter what they do, they're going to get some information. It's just that this is going to be better information, more organized information. So if you're going to be getting something, you might as well get something organized and structured.
Yeah. Right. And the officers, once they start doing it, it just becomes second nature to them.
Yeah.
I mean, they have that card for the backup, and we always want that. But it's just that it's the same thing every time every situation, you know? And so that's where we just say, work with your officers, because again, they're giving you something, but this is organized, and we have catch all the priority symptoms in the questions that we ask.
Right. All right. So before we go then, I want to ask one more, which is, why does this matter? Why should our agencies care about advanced SEN, and why should they get it? Darren, you want to start?
Sure. Well, we know that the call volumes across the country mainly are increasing, but we also know that the amount of resources are not increasing. So if they truly are worrying about utilization of resources and doing what's best in interest of the patient care, and not just for the patients, for the SEN protocols, but maybe it's the next call that comes in that's just down the street, it frees up resources for that. But being able to utilize your resources to the level that's needed for each one of the advanced SEN calls has the potential of freeing up resources for that cardiac arrest or that chest pain call that is in the same area at the same time.
Hmm. Bonnie?
And I feel like it's communication. I feel like it's communication that's been lacking, and each person has their feelings about like what they said or what was sent or what they did or what they didn't do. And it always, I think, in the end is a struggle for that dispatch center and that dispatcher or the call taker. And so for me, it's making their job easier and being able to move past that call and know that they sent everything that they could do without having to guess at it or half assume or, you know, that type of thing. Because we all know that's the area that we get in trouble in.
And in all honesty, it should expedite the call taking or the dispatching process on this. Yeah. If all the information is provided up front, we don't have to ask any questions and we can expedite the whole dispatch process.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks for being here with us today. And thanks for talking to us about Advanced SEN.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Dispatch In Depth. Remember, it really helps us if you rate and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dispatch In Depth is hosted by me, Isabel Gardett. Our producer is Becca Barris. Reading Roberts is the technical director, and Scott Robinson is our executive producer.